I think the one that got me was when I don't know. I think it might have been the weatherman was like 100%. Like, what are you
saying? Yes, Toledo weather gonna be the lit during testing week. 100% chance of success. You've got this, kids. Steve, how about that traffic? Are we looking
better than okay? We're talking turn FOMO won't be an issue. No traffic problems around any TPS schools to keep you from taking those tests.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of League Pass and Chill. We're going to start with something serious. Kristaps Porzingis, current Maverick, former Nick, accused of rape. I'm Olga Nulich. Welcome to League Pass and Chill.
Jesus.
I'm joined by Guardian of Telovitz, Tom Hanley, Harrison Pullinger. And let me read this reporting from New York Post. Hours after suffering a gruesome knee injury during a game, Porzingis, 23, allegedly punched and raped the 29-year-old woman inside the Midtown skyscraper where they both lived, sources told the Post. That happened. What are our thoughts on the alleged rape that Kristaps is accused of doing?
I mean, your initial reaction is pretty grim. You just didn't think that Porzingis was this kind of person, but then you got to wait to see how it all plays out, I suppose, as well.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's hard to have an opinion on this until obviously there's a whole trial and a verdict and a whatever. But yeah, I don't like on the list of NBA players people might have thought could do something along these lines. I don't think Kristaps Porzingis would have been on many people's
just
list.
He's like young and
like
seems
this
innocent,
lovable,
right?
Like friendly giant sort of bloke that's like 23 and has only been kind of a positive personality in the league up until this point.
Granted, though, like we've heard about his, you know, power grabs at the Knicks. You know, rape is obviously about power. That, you know, that could have been an indication if this turns out to, if he turns out to be guilty, that's a thing. I'm going to read the statements from certain people just from like a legal perspective that we have to do. Is it interesting that I don't think this has really hit the NBA news cycle as hard as
Because
it is.
I think people are still in shock. Where it's just like, holy shit.
See, people are, and I get it's also not, he hasn't been charged with it or anything like that. But it's like, it's a legitimate star allegedly committing, you know, sexual assault. That's like, it hasn't really hit the news cycle as hard as you'd expect it to.
I think a terrifying thing about this is that we're in a moment of time where so many athletes are coming out with these accusations against them, and so many of them are coming out to be true that I think we're almost becoming immune to surprise here, where it's just like, oh God, another athlete thinks he's too good for the law, does these horrible, horrible things. And I don't know. I feel like, especially being an NFL fan, that it's every couple of weeks you hear something like this.
It's weird, and just in general, so like it's the whole, you know, Me Too movement, where it was such a shock when it first started happening, and then it got to the point where it's awesome, women are being heard, but then it got to the point where it almost flipped to the other side of the spectrum where there are so many now that it's almost hard to keep track. It's like people just don't realize or forgot that Morgan Freeman was accused of certain things, like, and he's just no one, Neil deGrasse Tyson was, and just no one heard about these things because there's such a the saturated news cycle, I guess. I must read some statements from certain people, most importantly from Kristaps' lawyer, who says, we are aware of the complaint that was made against Mr. Porzingis on Friday. And
sorry, just the word complaint in that?
Like, yes, I know. That's diminishing the accusation.
Wow.
Based on the accuser's, and unequivocally deny the allegations. That was by Roland G. Riopelli.
What a name.
Very cool name. We made a formal referral to federal law enforcement on December 20, 2018. Based on the accuser's extortionate demands, we also alerted the NBA months ago, and they are aware of the ongoing investigation of the accuser by federal law enforcement. We cannot comment further on an ongoing federal investigation. Please refer any questions to the Federal Bureau of Investigation or the National Basketball Association. That was that. And the NBPA, so the National Basketball Players Association, is standing by Kristaps. The executive director, Michelle Roberts, said, we have been aware of these allegations for some time, have evaluated the accuser's claim, and based on what is presently before us, stand with Kristaps.
See, that's quite a large statement there.
That's very interesting.
It's interesting. It depends on how you kind of interpret that. I think if they didn't, if she hadn't said, have evaluated the accuser's claims, I think most people would have just assumed that, yeah, obviously you stand by him because he's innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
But that kind of, that line kind of insinuates that they've done their own little, like, personal internal investigation, and they're like pretty certain that Kristaps is telling the truth, which is an interesting position to take when there hasn't been a formal investigation, there hasn't been a trial and whatnot, because it leaves you open to being wrong about something that's
well, they do cover that with what is presently before us, which sure, means that will change.
Yeah, if anything else could comes change.
Out. But you've got to assume that they know everything that we know.
Yeah,
they would. Like, right. to make a statement as pretty definitive, other than that little caveat,
yeah.
it's quite definitive to the point where you perhaps they have evidence to the contrary. We obviously don't know, but as that sort of organization, to actually take a very definitive stand, presumably they know something that we don't.
It also makes me think, like, how long have they known about this, and why is it only coming out now?
Well, it's... She went forward to the police. Apparently, the police, the FBI, consider her credible, which is interesting considering the fact that the NBPA is standing by Kristaps. But that's why it came out now. And it's weird because the Mavericks knew about it before they traded for him too. Or at least they knew of an extortion case.
Yeah, something along
those lines. There was something that went on there as well.
So someone was fishy.
Yeah, so that's something to keep track of.
Can I just ask you guys before we move on?
Of course.
If this comes out and he is... then he's guilty of this. Do you think he's got any place in the NBA?
No.
No.
He's got a place in jail.
Yeah, but I mean, how many times do we see the rehab program where a team takes them on because of how talented they are and say, no, we believe they need basketball?
I feel like convicted rape is very different.
So Kobe, for example, was accused of rape and he settled with his accused with the accused,
yeah, and then shot his way into innocence.
Sure. Derrick Rose was found not guilty, and the one thing that I think of is someone like James Johnson with the Miami Heat, who is a charged domestic person who's committed domestic assault, and he's still in the league. Yep. You know, I don't think he should be, but yeah, being charged and convicted of rape is very different.
It's just how the sports world works sometimes. They're good at something, so they're going
to
get paid.
No, I mean, if he's convicted of rape, he's going to prison for a considerable amount of time.
Yeah, but you look at it in the NFL, those guys have been convicted of domestic violence.
Roger Goodell's not Adam Silver.
Ray Rice is the only one that they've really given the harsh punishment to.
Yeah.
But Adam Silver's different. He's more progressive.
Yeah, it seems like he is, yeah.
Moving on. So that's obviously something that's interesting to track. There are ramifications for the player and for teams and just for society.
It's obviously not a fun conversation to have, but it's important that we touch on these sort of things when they do happen.
Yeah. On the flip side, today, we're recording this on a Monday in Australia, Zion Williamson, the Duke Blue Devils, are eliminated from the NCAA tournament. It was their Elite Eight game against Michigan State. Michigan State won by 1 point. They ran out the clock at the end. Harrison, you didn't like the game, or you didn't like the way Duke plays?
Yeah, for the last couple of games, I haven't loved the way Duke plays. I love the way Zion looks when he's on the court and the fearlessness that he plays in. When they're against UCF and they were down three of all the people on the court, you probably don't want Zion shooting the three, but the other four guys just threw him the ball and ran away because they don't want that shot. And he took the three, ended up getting the ball back, and then got that and one at the end, which set them up for the win. But you just saw that from the start of the game, the whole Duke offense just looks so lost. Mm. It's pass, run away from the ball, essentially, and hope that RJ's going to do something, that Zion's going to do something, or God forbid Cam will hit a shot. So no, I didn't love the way Duke played, and I would have been, I didn't see them winning after that UCF game. And you know, they survived the next one only just, and...
Yeah, their luck was going to run out eventually. I woke up this morning and saw that it had happened. I think the first thing I saw was RJ Barrett consoling Trey Jones, and I was like, oh my God, they've lost.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, it was a matter of time. They almost lost that UCF game. It was that little tip in. And then the next game, oh, sorry, who was it against? I've already forgotten.
I shouldn't know who that game was.
Who was that? They almost got another tip in on that one where it was rimmed out again.
Yeah.
And it was Virginia Tech, that's it. Yeah. And it was just a matter of time before one of them just fell the other way.
It was really weird because Duke, Coach K isn't necessarily known as an X's and O's guy, but obviously he's not bad at it because he's one of the greatest coaches in history. But it just, it never seemed like Duke really had anything that worked against any team in the half court, because throughout the regular season they were running.
Yeah,
we didn't see them run that much other than the first round of the NCAA tournament. I thought that was interesting because that's obviously where guys like Zion and RJ and even Cam Reddish, they can excel, especially at this level.
Yeah, well, they got lucky in like a bunch of games, like that UCF one. If Taco Fall,
two open layups, in those two games,
and if Taco Fall had stayed in the game, they would have lost because they wouldn't have got an offensive rebound off Zion's miss.
But see, that's not luck. That was Zion attacking him again and again, on that free throw.
But if like one other thing had happened, they would have lost that game. And then the next one, like Trey Jones finally got hot from three and hit like, I think, five threes in the next game, and they gave up
an open layup at the end, and it was it was just luck that layups missed. So yeah, Duke's out of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
With that, one more Australian is out, Jack White.
Yes.
That's the story.
That's the story on this one.
He's the co-captain of Duke.
Is he a co-captain?
Yeah.
It's good for him.
Don't pity him.
I'm not
pity. I meant pity. So he's out. There's one Australian left now, who is Cody Statman, who's at Virginia.
I love codes. We're close like that.
Where's he from?
Melbourne. It's from Melbourne.
It's out of Queensland.
Damn. It's usually a pretty good shit. Like most of the good basketballs are out of Melbourne. Damn.
By the way, cool little tidbit. The next time we see Zion, he'll be wearing like some sort of NBA uniform.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. This is the start of it. Like, yeah, this is the start. Like RJ and stuff, they're going into the league now.
It's very exciting.
Pretty fun.
Another tidbit, which is NCAA women's tournament. Two Australian women remaining. One is Alana Smith. Keep an eye on her. She's like top five projected WNBA draft pick.
Awesome. Hey. Where's she play?
Stanford. She's the go-to person at Stanford.
Yeah, cool.
She's very legit. Yeah. She's been legit for a long time. So keep an eye on her.
Some
they're
might
in
say
the elite
too
eight.
Legit.
Nope.
Too legit to quit. also, who's our favorite now for the NCAA tournament?
I mean, I have Virginia.
I guess Virginia as well. I haven't actually seen a whole lot of them play. I thought they were going to get knocked out. I thought they were going to get knocked out earlier than this.
I really like their defense. They've controlled the three-point line really well.
Well, I really liked Gonzaga.
Do you?
Yeah, Brandon Clark. I tweeted about him last night.
Oh, yeah. But can he play on a Tuesday? That's the real question.
We hate you, Tom. Yeah. We hate you.
Also, I reckon, I don't know how who it's matching up now in the Final Four, but I reckon Texas Tech or Virginia and those ones, their defenses are so good.
Texas Tech.
Yeah, it seems like in the...
So Texas Tech will play Michigan State. And
okay, yeah.
Virginia.
So I reckon, I'm calling Texas Tech Virginia final then.
I don't see Auburn going through.
Yeah.
Just losing their big man.
Well, just in the past, all the championship games have been really defensive because it seems like no one can shoot in the championship game because they play in those massive stadiums. So everyone's like depth perception's off and no one can
Is
shoot.
That why?
That's always been the thing. Yeah. That's always the conversation every year. They're like, oh, it's a big stadium. There's no backdrop. People kind of lose their like way on the court.
Speaking
it's
of
very different.
The shooters in this tournament, the Purdue backcourt. They're going to find themselves a place in the NBA.
I was thinking that just watching him. Like, his body is so strange. He doesn't look like any NBA player that I know.
Klein?
No, Carson
Edwards.
Oh, yeah.
Edwards. He's
Carson
just
Edwards
such a little
a
nugget. He just looks like a running back.
I mean, he looks like a shorter version of Russell Westbrook.
But squished him.
Built-wise.
He squished him.
He's just, a little bit shorter.
His three ball was crazy the other day.
Yeah, he was on
six or seven.
It was 10. No, it was 10 from 19. I'm pretty sure.
And then Klein as well. The wide 3-point shooter who's having seven 3-point made, six 3-point made. He's going to find himself a niche in the NBA now. That everything is just about pace.
Especially doing that against one of the best 3-point defensive teams in the country. It's good job, guys.
I feel like guys like that are just going to somehow find a way in the league.
Yeah.
Especially when you look at the way Alex Caruso is playing with the Lakers now. Now, I guess it's like the end of the season, he's getting big
I'm
minutes.
Sorry, Alex Caruso is not the example of dribble finding a place in the league.
No, Alex Caruso...
I probably would have gone like Kevin Huerta or something.
No, Alex Caruso is an example of a dude who played like three...
A dude that needs to keep up on his hairline.
Okay, yes, he should just shave it all, obviously.
Not even his hairline, just his hair.
Just the head. But he's played three or four seasons in the NBA. He played three or four seasons in college, sorry. And right now he's playing the NBA and he just looks ready.
Okay.
He was like 4 or 4 from downtown today. And
today?
Yes. Yeah, cool, man.
What do you guys hate? Alex
Get
Caruso?
Out of here with your Caruso references.
All right, so some more news. This week, we have two more Australians in the NBA, which is kind of crazy. So first it was Isaac Humphries.
Well, not two more. Like, we have one more, and then Mitchell Duke. I mean, Mitchell Creek, sorry.
What?
Mitchell Duke plays football. Okay. Mitchell Creek was already...
But he wasn't. But he wasn't. He was like, he was there, and then he was
in and out.
The G League.
Yeah. You know what I mean. He's not like a new Aussie.
Right. Yeah. So, Isaac Humphries, previously played in the G League, excuse me?
I was just saying that was cold, Gotti. He's just got another call up for a 10-day
No, but I mean,
that's
like,
awesome. Let's celebrate the guy.
But like, Isaac.
Don't be like, oh, well, no one cares because you've done that before.
So, Isaac Humphries signed a 10-day contract with the Atlanta Hawks. That, I think, is being made official tomorrow.
Hey, Oaks.
Hey.
Who had the worldwide exclusive on the Isaac Humphries
story?
This
is the first time thing I'm hearing about it, yeah.
Mm. Is actually? Mm. I broke that story like a few days ago.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Wait, it was an Illich exclusive.
I'm breaking that, don't worry.
Guys, he asked me to say that.
I didn't ask anything.
Well, I did say that ESPN just ripped your news straight off.
Oh, did they?
With no credit.
I'm blaming Laurie on that one.
Yeah, that's straight Laurie.
I'm not saying anything. So he's headed to the Atlanta Hawks. His first game is against the San Antonio Spurs, which is quite cool.
Because what they need is big men, that's for sure.
I don't know if that's sarcastic or not.
I don't think it is.
No, John Collins, Alex Len, they've got guys. Yeah, hopefully he gets some minutes. And then Mitch Creek signed a 10-day deal with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Mm.
So that's
pretty happy about
he had signed two previous ones with the Brooklyn Nets.
We got to see him play on one of them against the Bucks, and he was actually pretty impressive.
He was good. He got Giannis for stretch.
Yeah, I think he was like 5-5, 5-5, and 5. I'm pretty sure he was in like 10 minutes or something like that. And he had some really impressive bits where I was like, this dude can play.
Yeah, he's always been interesting because he's like a 6'5" power forward, basically, as far as his skill set. But he's shown he can defend at the next level. If he can make shots, that's very. That changes everything.
He can absolutely rebound at the next
level. Oh, yeah.
His just effort rebounds, he's picking up two, three a game just by picking up loose balls that people aren't going for.
He has a good timing for it and a good read on the ball.
So the Timberwolves are quite undermanned now, so there's a good chance that he can get some minutes in the backcourt there.
Also, the Nets gave him props for his like bench performance, if you know what I mean. Like, especially on the Nets, how they have that like wild bench like personality. Yeah, they said that he's a really good team kind of guy. Yeah.
And the worst thing about it, though, is that the Long Island Nets, who Mitch Creek was playing for, they're in a deep postseason run. They're one of the hottest teams in the NBA G League. And he just... has to leave now. It kind of sucks for them.
Yeah.
And it sucks that that's the reality of that situation. But go Mitch.
Mm. Yeah. Good for him.
There's that. Other news, LeBron James is sitting for us this season. Lakers have shut him down. We kind of spoke about that last week.
Could also impact Alex Caruso's numbers.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Sorry. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Alex.
I don't want to continue.
Well, I was going to say, in a contract year as well, in a contract year for like Caruso, that's really going to help his standing in free agency at the end of the year. It's a restricted free agent at the end of the year, so let's see. Big things coming.
We're
going to
do a free agency special on Caruso.
Just Caruso.
Just a whole episode dedicated.
Yeah, one hour.
He's a good player. He's a good basketball player. You guys are going to eat your words. You will all eat your words.
We are going to go hungry.
LeBron is sitting, and that's weird.
It is weird. It was going to happen.
No, but it's weird that LeBron James is sitting because his team aren't even with a chance at the playoffs. Like,
his
year
is done on the 1st of April. That's crazy.
Yeah. I'm pretty happy. Like, he needs a rest, you know?
LeBron was courtside, by the way, in New Orleans today for the Lakers result. Traveling with the team to New Orleans when you're sitting?
Maybe have a few dinners with one person in particular.
Oh, does LeBron go with the Lakers to, like, what? Dallas, would he?
I wouldn't. It's not a nice city.
I feel like New Orleans is maybe there's another reason why LeBron went with the team.
He's a big fan of Bourbon Street.
Well, like the French Quarter? Yeah. Is that what we're talking about?
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly
loves his pastries.
The beignets.
So tasty.
So good.
Yeah. So tasty. But it's like really filling.
So LeBron James went to New Orleans for beignets.
Beignets.
And Bourbon Street. Mm. So yeah, that's that. What we wanted to do was, because we're in a situation where we know a lot of the playoff teams, we know all of the West, we just don't know the order that they'll be in. And we know a good portion of the East, though there are, I believe...
like two spots that are kind of up for grabs.
Yeah, there are four teams that are kind of vying for that. Yeah. And they're all around the same record or a very similar record.
Yeah, like Charlotte's like three games back, I think, of the eighth seed now, but they're still mathematically in with a chance. So.
That's a no, though. So basically, take Charlotte out and you pretty much have the Brooklyn Nets, Miami Heat, Detroit Pistons, Orlando Magic fighting for three spots, I think. Yeah, they're fighting for three spots there. And they all have similar records and they all got wins yesterday. And so we're going to have to wait and see there. But because we know so much of the playoff picture, we thought we'd attack the other side of things.
Yeah.
And do like a quick fire post-mortem of the teams that didn't make the playoff.
Mm.
So not necessarily, you know, what they need to do or whatever, but just, you know, just what we thought of their season, you know, what stood out about each of their respective seasons. And just, you know, what excited us, what didn't excite us. We thought we'd just kind of just flow through every team and, you know, let's do that.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we call it This Is Why They Suck?
Thank you. we finished. Look,
no, I didn't hate it.
Look, so we ended on LeBron there. So I guess we can just quickly go over the Lakers. We've spoken about them a lot
too
in
much
this podcast. What do we just think of their season?
I have one word written down next to Lakers, and it's just gross.
Gross.
And we know why. I mean, we've spoken about the Lakers like ad nauseum throughout the year. They suck, and it made sense why they suck, because their off-season acquisitions didn't make any sense. They didn't fix it before the trade deadline. There were injuries, like all of the above. They're just kind of a bit gross, and the way forward for them will be in free agency and maybe trying to get those young stars back to some semblance of feeling comfortable in that environment, because they've gone through a fair bit this season with thinking that they're off to New Orleans and whatnot. So
I don't trust Magic Johnson or anyone.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think
really make decisions.
I think they need to have a good hard look at themselves after what they've done this year. Yeah, there was a story that came out earlier this week. That
I'm just imagining them all standing in front of like a really big mirror.
It's like, we suck.
We suck.
But there was a story that came out this week, and it was of like apparently Jerry West like openly laughed at the Lakers after the Zubac deal. Oh. And he was like, how do we pull this off? Like, what are we doing? Are these guys?
I was watching the Clippers Cleveland game earlier in the week, and that, like, the commentators, every time he'd do something good, they were like, they gave up, like, we gave up nothing and got this player. We're like, what is happening?
Yeah, they haven't come to terms with, like, what is going on here?
Yeah, and this is a player that I think had potential, but I don't think anyone really thought was going to be a key piece to this team. And now we're laughing at the lack of that, because everything else has just been a disaster.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, they're gross.
It's just disappointing. It's disappointing that like the resources they had and what they had to give and what they ended up doing with it.
Yeah. I think the only plus side is that all those deals were 1 year deals, so they had the chance this offseason to kind of revamp the whole team. Yeah.
So I guess we just hope that Magic Johnson learns from his mistakes.
Yeah, exactly.
Long.
Yeah.
They're still paying Lowell Deng $5 million.
Oh, God. Completely forgot about that.
Until 2021-22 season, they're paying $5 million.
How old will I be then? Wait, did you say 21, 22?
So,
I picked it up. I was like, it's in 100 years. Holy crap, man. That's a lot of money.
Do you think you're going to live that
long? He's going to be so dead? Yeah.
Jesus. Let's go to the other side of California, to the Sacramento Kings, who
a geography lesson.
Ooh. Is it the other side or is it up?
That's another side of it.
I suppose it is.
Yeah, Sacramento Kings. I guess Darren Fox, you know, really broke out. Buddy Hield really broke out.
Mm.
And they have interesting pieces in, like, Marvin Bagley.
Yeah.
And
they've got heaps of money this offseason as well.
Right, and I think they've shown that they're, at least now, like, a viable franchise again.
I think, like, Marvin Bagley is the first example of a few that we'll get into of rookies that were somewhat written off at the start of the season, and we were kind of like, oh, did they really take him with the number two pick? But he's kind of grown into something where you can really see him being a legitimate star in the league in years to come. One point I did want to bring up was the acquisition of Harrison Barnes, who at the time I was a bit about, and at the time of bringing him in, they had a real chance at the postseason. They've gone 9-13 since he arrived in games that he's played. He's averaging 14.5 points per game. I'm not saying that he's the reason that they've been losing, because they're a young team, obviously. But
it's a really tough schedule.
Yeah, but the thing is, they're still paying him for this season and next season quite a lot of money. So I think it's about $25 million a year. I still don't really know why they did that deal. I don't think he improves them.
I liked it on paper.
Yeah, it gets rid of a lot of their money as well. That's the thing.
Yeah, I didn't really understand it. I still don't. But hey, maybe next season they'll figure it all out.
Yeah. I was back to what you were saying about Marvin Bagley. I think he's the perfect example of like a rookie coming into the league and kind of getting shocked by the whole thing, like the pace of the game and like the spectacle of it. I was watching an interview with him Jaren Jackson and Luka Doncic, and he was talking about it. It's like the guy asked, he's like, what happened? Like, what's the reasoning behind your great play after the All-Star break? And he was like, look, he was just literally like, everything was so fast, everything was so big. Like, I just got kind of scared, and like, I finally started getting comfortable on the court and finally getting comfortable with the speed. Mm. And you can see it in his numbers. Like, I think if he kept his play up this whole year, he could be in the conversation for Sixth Man of the Year. Because he's had some big games off the bench. He had some big 30-point games, like 15 rebounds, 12 rebounds, fairly consistent 15 to 18 points.
I think if he kept, if he started this hot, he'd be a starter.
Mm, yeah,
he wouldn't still. He wouldn't still be a bench man. But Dave Joerger deserves a lot of credit for how they've like weeded him in slowly, and I think they're going to really reap the benefits of that.
Pushing him into the starting lineup after he started playing really well. Just keep him on the bench, keeping his expectations kind of realistic.
I think if you think he's going to be Sixth Man of the Year, or I think he could have been, I think you have a fight with Gutty, who has already picked his Sixth Man of the Year.
It's Montrezl Harrell.
He thinks it's Montrezl Harrell.
It's Lou Williams. It's Lou Williams. It's just going to happen.
Not, but okay.
We'll get to that another day.
Different debate, another day.
Let's go a little bit more into the United States, to Arizona, where the Phoenix... We're doing it. I assume this is definitely. Where the Phoenix Suns, they did some stuff, didn't they?
They did do some stuff.
they went and existed in Arizona, and that's it.
That's about it.
Like, Devin Booker dropped some 50-point games in losses.
Yeah,
and DeAndre Ayton looked really solid, but no one noticed because they were bad. Mm. And Kelly Oubre's cool.
Yeah, I like Kelly Oubre.
Kelly Oubre's been fantastic for the Suns. I think he's that wing player that they hoped they'd get out of Josh Jackson earlier.
Yeah,
but Oubre's just bigger, he's stronger, and he doesn't have those question marks next to his mental ability, his head, essentially.
Yeah. One thing that I do think it is, it's his eyes. Have you ever looked into Kelly Oubre's eyes and just got lost in them? I think that happens to a lot of defenders in the NBA. They kind of like shake him up and they're just like,
So because he's pretty.
That was a worrying sound, but yes.
On that,
Tom is single. Want to hear that sound more? Yeah. Have pretty eyes.
Do you guys remember the PDF document that went around of some woman who rated the NBA players by their looks? Obviously,
she was obsessed with Kevin Love.
Yeah. Firstly, don't objectify people. Don't do that.
Kevin Love, but
but it was quite funny because she kept bigging up Kevin Love. She liked Ben Simmons, except for the beard. And then the last one was just Kelly Oubre. And he's just perfect, apparently.
Yeah.
So presumably...
Yeah, he's a handsome man.
Sure.
I mean...
Gotti, other than Kelly Oubre being an attractive man, apparently, what did you like about
Phoenix? Don't say apparently, it's a fact.
Objective. what are your thoughts on Phoenix Suns?
They're way too talented to be this bad.
Yeah.
Like, when Igor Kokoskov came in, we were like, oh, like, what's he going to be able to do? Like, this is a pretty decent team, like, on paper at least. They're 17 and 60. They're 13 wins behind the 14th best team in the West, which is like, they're so much worse than anyone else in the West record-wise. But when you look at their roster, like, they, like, sure, they have, like, kind of issues on defense and whatnot, but, like, they should not lose this many games with the players that they have. Devin Booker is a guy that can put 50 points up. Like, DeAndre Ayton's good, as we've talked about. Like, they've got talent. I don't know how they figure this out. I don't know if it's a culture issue or what it is, but Igor Kokoskov, I assume he keeps his job because he's only been there for one season, but, like, at the same time, he's underperformed, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
they should
be better than what they are.
I think a lot of it comes down to just the lack of like a true point guard, and the fact that Devin Booker has to have the ball in his hands so much just to keep the offense flowing, that he's just exhausted, so he can't give anything on the defensive end. He's just purely offense, and his mind kind of switches off on defense because he has to do so much at the other end of the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I think all their problems start on the defensive end, so they need to sort that out, and then they can get moving with other stuff.
They're also one of the worst rebounding teams in the NBA, which, okay, you've got DeAndre Ayton, but that like a large part of rebounding is effort.
And I think
that goes to what you were saying, Gardy, where it's a culture issue where effort just doesn't matter in Phoenix.
Mm. Do you think that comes down to all the losing? They just kind of sit there like,
it has to. Yeah, which feeds into the culture as well. It's just, what are you training for? Because you just lose.
You also have to think about, you know, all these guys, whether it be Devin Booker or DeAndre Ayton or even Josh Jackson, they win all the time in high school. They're these top ranked players. they go to college, they go to these winning programs, Devin Booker at Kentucky, DeAndre Ayton at Arizona, and then they go to the NBA and they lose most of their games. So for a lot of these guys, not DeAndre Ayton because he did have an interesting like childhood, but they go through life not experiencing adversity.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wonder what Ben Simmons would be like if he was in a program that was losing a lot because he grew up with zero, effectively zero adversity. He was the number one player in the nation and then went through whatever he did. But yeah, it's just a culture shock almost for these guys. So yeah, that's different for them.
Yeah.
So how they handle it is an indictment, you know, on how they handle adversity.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
All right, so we're going to go further into the country now. So we're going to hit...
We're on a road trip.
Look, we're not going to go to New Orleans yet because that's like that's down there.
Yeah, it's further.
Let's head north.
We're going to... Let's hit Dallas, actually.
Yeah, right.
Actually, no, let's go to Minnesota.
North. All right.
We're just
Minnesota.
It's the worst Minnesota.
From Minnesota.
It's real cold here in Minnesota.
Gotti goes Canadian when he does it.
They're pretty close
they're
to
close
each other.
To
they're
Canada.
Pretty damn close.
But they're not the same.
The accents are pretty spot.
So Minnesota, my postmortem is Jimmy Butler, they did that way too late, getting rid of him. Yeah. Getting rid of Tom Thibodeau, they did that way too late.
Yeah.
Carl Towns, Gotti has some interesting stats on him. Yeah. I think he's decent. I don't think he's a game changer by any means, and I'm not sure what Andrew Wiggins is just as a human.
I think
he's
sucks.
Getting paid.
Yeah.
He's getting
he's
paid.
He's rich.
Andrew Wiggins is rich, exactly.
He's very rich, and he's just super athletic and really, really likes to shoot long twos.
Yeah.
Like, he bloody loves it.
Loves the long twos.
It's his favorite thing in the world.
Mm.
Reckon he just sits at home watching like 90s basketball being like yeah
they're just like someone's on the phone just like, Andrew, do you want to talk about analytics? No
man.
Hangs up and keeps watching.
Go on, text him.
Yeah, what I would say about the T-Wolves is like, okay, so a couple of seasons ago they were one of the most exciting franchises in the NBA. Everyone was excited about them. Everyone was excited about Cat. Remember there was that GM survey where was he like
number
did
one.
Did he overtake Anthony Davis as the player everyone would start a franchise with?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's average.
Embiid wasn't healthy at that time as well.
Mm. But that's like a huge rap. Like that's a dude that they were saying is like the best player you could possibly have on your NBA roster.
Yes.
Obviously, his rep's gone down a bit with the losing and then the Jimmy Butler situation and whatnot. He's averaging on the season 24.5, 12.5, 3.5 on 51% shooting and 40% from three, which is in itself very good. And he will like statistically always be one of the best players in the NBA. Since All-Star break, though, he's going 29.3 points a game, 14 rebounds, nearly 4 assists a game on 53% shooting and 44% from three.
That's good.
Since All-Star break, the dude's like... one of the best players in the NBA.
Yeah, wow.
And like obviously he's not getting the respect because they're not winning, and that's something he needs to take responsibility for, because often you can accuse him of maybe being a bit too passive and putting up numbers and not exactly playing winning basketball. But when you look at the numbers, at least he's like trying to improve or seemingly improving. Then you look at Wiggins, who's averaging like 17.9 on the season. That's 2 points below his career average.
Ugh.
So he's getting worse as he should be getting better. And he's shooting 40% from the field. 40% from the field. And career-wise, he was shooting 44%. So like you can kind of see Kat like at least getting a little bit better, at least on paper. And then Wiggins just...
See, I don't know if that's something that... should be applauded, because this goes back to what Ogden was saying at the start, where it's how do these guys deal with adversity. When he was around that Jimmy Butler issue where he was being challenged in October, so for the first 8 games of the year and they went 4-4, he was averaging 18 and 10.
Yep.
That's
no, I know what you mean.
Yeah. So, but now he's gone and he's gone, what, 29 and 14?
But that could also move that his usage has gone up since then as well. Like Jimmy dominated the ball a little bit, and he, like, a lot of Jimmy's output goes towards.
But this is the same thing that we saw in the playoffs against Houston last year.
Yeah, I was gonna
you
say
got
that.
Into a tough spot and he averaged 15.2 points.
Yeah.
This, like, that's not what you want from your best player. And I was looking into the Wolves a little bit. If you have an offense with an elite big man, and that's he is an elite big man, generally that team is going to have a really high assist percentage, because you're not expecting him to be in isolation dribbling the ball. Timberwolves don't pass the ball at all.
Mm.
Like their assist percentage is one of the worst in the NBA. They're 20th actually. They only get like 58% of their points come off an assist.
What's the highest?
I'm not sure what the highest is.
Yeah. In front of you.
But yeah, like that's a system issue as well. That if you have an elite big man, I don't think you can just bring in a coach and say, "Oh, coach them." You need to bring in a coach to coach for an elite big man.
Mm. I wonder if their option at coach would be bringing in Kevin McHale for that kind of situation.
I don't know if Kevin McHale is the kind of the right person to coach in this year. Mm. Or in this generation of basketball.
Yeah, but like, also not maybe not as a head coach, but also because he's available as a coach, I'd say, and bring him on as an advisor or something like that. Like the Magic did with Dwight Howe when they brought Patrick Ewing in as an advisor.
Yeah, and I just think Ryan Saunders does need some people around him because he's a very young coach.
Mm.
Yeah,
I don't know if Kevin McHale's available.
It's just interesting to see how...
Keeps going to MAGA rallies.
Really? Oh. I did not know that about him. I knew there was something I didn't trust.
It's fine. No collusion. Nah. You go.
Yeah, no, I just think it's interesting to look at how, like, the narrative's changed around the T-Wolves in, like, the matter of a couple years, you know? Like, they are still very young, but people run out of patience real quick. Mm. Like, Cat's putting up monstrous numbers, putting up numbers that, like, if your big man was putting that up, you'd be pretty happy, but no one seems to be very happy.
Well, I think everyone sits on the thing like Harrison said before. Until he does it in the playoffs, I don't think anyone's going
to get it. Until they just... get to until they start winning, it's empty.
All right, let's move a little bit to the a little bit across to the to Chicago.
Oh, we're going to kind of like
finishing the West.
Oh,
we're going to do like a loop around.
But no, it's because Texas is kind of in the middle.
Yeah,
I just thought we were going to go west, and then
but no, east, because but we started
changing
west.
Changing it up.
We started west. That's so cool. If you guys look at me, we started west. We've gone here. We went in this way. Now we went up to Minnesota.
Yeah, this is great for now, podcast.
We get you.
Chicago.
We're
in Chicago now.
Okay.
Landed O'Hare.
Okay.
All right. We're in Chicago now.
You know the airport. Where to eat? Where do we eat in Chicago?
Olga? If you want to go South Loop, you got a Harold's Chicken Shack. Lovely.
That's what I want for my food.
Yeah, exactly.
To be from a shack.
Yeah, it's fried chicken. To be described as lovely.
Harold's Chicken Shack's lovely. Harold's Chicken Shack, best fried chicken in Chicago, in my opinion.
Fair enough.
I lived in Chicago. It was a silly question.
Yeah, that was why I asked the question, because you know Chicago.
All right, the Chicago Bulls. Zach LaVine did some things, everything other than defense, which was cool.
Update on Ted. I've just heard from him. He says he's all right.
For those who don't know, speaking of like a basket case. This situation is a basket case.
Right.
It was problematic. So I woke up at like 2 a.m. this morning to like some texts from Tom Hanley. And it was a photo of Ted Smith.
Yes.
Our usual co-host. In an emergency room, lying down on a stretcher of some sort. We weren't sure what happened. Tom said he fell off his skateboard.
And very much broke his collarbone.
So he broke his collarbone.
And aren't there like three fractures and something else?
It's very broken.
He broke or tore his shoulder socket. It would be funny if it wasn't so serious.
Yeah. Ted's broken. And if you're a loyal listener, you'd know that last week we were talking about Tom's hands being all cut up because he fell off his skateboard.
Guys, just...
We're not some weird skateboard podcast gang. The rest of us are very much just like the four wheels we use are vehicles and cars. And we don't trust skateboards.
Change it up. Yeah, I just ride my skateboard around the city pushing old ladies and yelling at security guards. Every other skateboarder around the world.
Yeah, sure. So Ted suffered a small accident. He says he has three fractures in his collarbone and a broken shoulder socket, which sounds rough.
Yeah.
Get well soon.
We also saw a photo of Morphine Ted, who looked like the happiest person that has ever existed.
So funny. Yeah.
All right, so speaking of just terrible situations, Chicago Bulls, they are a broken. They're a fractured collarbone and a broken shoulder.
That's harsh.
There are multiple problems with them.
Correct. Zach LaVine went through a stretch at the start of the season where it was like, he's going to be the most improved player, dropping 30 points a game, and he looks really good on the offensive end. And then that's it. Otto Porter has looked really interesting there, I guess. Otherwise, it's really just been the Bulls' decision making coming back to bite them again, and they just don't look like a great team.
Like, yes, there's a lot to be negative about, but they do have, like, a talented young core. Like, you look at Zach LaVine, sure, he's not great on the defensive end, but he could be.
Yeah.
Like, you feel like if there was an incentive to actually win, maybe he could.
But he's not.
But at the same time, I've been saying that about Wiggins for years.
Just because he's athletic and kind of long.
Potential's there. Like, they've got, like, Wendell Carter, obviously went out earlier this season with an injury. That Larry Markkanen is a legit, like, talented young player. And
with health issues, though.
Yeah, but he's been pretty good this year.
He didn't play much, though.
No, but since he came back, he missed a lot of this year.
He missed a lot of last year.
He missed the start, and then he was fine.
He's also been shut down. He's shut down for the season with a fatigue issue.
Well, that's just them trying to lose, I reckon. Like, he averaged the season 18-9, which is pretty good.
And how many games did it say? Not many, I'd say.
Probably asking 25? Questions I don't have the answers to.
25?
He would have definitely paid more than 25.
I look at the decisions being made by this Chicago Bulls front office, and I was just rolling through previous players that they've drafted. In 2014, they drafted both Yusuf Nurkic and Gary Harris, both guys that are fairly elite, and they traded both of them for the draft rights to Doug McDermott. Like, it's just they have just been sliding
for so long.
So in the same trade,
by the way,
in the same trade,
those two for Doug McDermott.
By the way, he played 52 games.
That's pretty good. Yeah, nice.
Literally double what you said.
Yeah.
No, Lowry's played a bunch, but as you say, there's obviously decision making issues.
Got packs.
Also, Yusuf Nurkic conversation Olga and I had the other day. Sneaky young.
Really young.
So when the injury, Yusuf Nurkic, we haven't talked about it because it was weird. It was like the start of the week.
He
snapped. He's a bit of a jerk.
He snapped. Oh, what?
Okay. I think he's a bit of a jerk.
He's very emotive on the court. Sure. Yeah.
He's a physical defensive.
He's a bit dirty,
anchor.
And he's a bit dirty. Okay, when he starts to lose, remember that one he stepped into front in the Russell Westbrook tried to buckle his knee.
Yeah, but it's Westbrook.
Hey.
So Yusuf Nurkic snapped his leg. When you're writing the story, when you're looking at all the things, in my initial thinking, I thought, oh, he's 26, 27. It's going to take like a year and a bit to get over this. He's 24. Mm. That's very, very young. Yeah. He's really good for such a young player.
Sneaky young.
Continue.
What?
where were we?
I'd finished.
You finished. Gotti interrupted because he was shocked about how young Yusuf Nurkic was.
And also the shock of that trade. It was the trade that threw us off.
Doug McDermott.
For Doug McDermott.
Yeah.
Where is Dougie now? In Indiana? Yeah.
And he's playing not badly.
Yeah, he's not.
He's not a bad player, but he's not those two players.
Oh, no.
And you're still paying Zach LaVine $20 million for the next four seasons.
I don't hate that. I'm going to say it. Like, I really...
$20 million.
I think Zach LaVine is absolutely fine as a $20 million a year player in the NBA.
See, if
he's putting up like 23 points a game. Not many people.
But if I'm paying someone $20 million,
that's $1 million a point.
You need to be playing defense.
Why is that? That's how the math works out.
I hold that like Zach LaVine is on a really shit team and there's not much reason to play defense.
Until
they want to decide to start winning.
Yeah, then they're paying Otto Porter nearly 30. But,
well, yeah, that's another conversation.
Like, this is the thing that Orlando got hamstrung by, where they paid a lot of money to Vucevic, who doesn't play defense, can only play offense, and then they paid Biombo a heap of money, who can only play defense and not play offense, and they ended up paying too much money for one complete player.
Mm.
You need a...
Maybe Orlando were, like, getting ahead of themselves. They thought they'd be able to do some merging, science, technology.
In Dragon Ball Z, the fusion.
They were hoping to throw Vucevic and Biombo so fast that they just merged.
Fusion!
What?
Watched Dragon Ball Z? What kind of child did you have?
So that's the Bulls. I watched Pokemon. I didn't watch Dragon Ball Z.
It was one after each other.
Yeah, I do.
It went straight into the next one.
Yeah, I turned TV off.
Dude, cheese TV.
Yeah.
Educate yourself.
So from Chicago, we can go a little bit that way to Cleveland. They've had a weird season because Colin Sexton was a guy who I didn't really think was going to be that amazing. He's had a really good end of the season, especially. And he's hitting from range with consistency.
Yeah, since All-Star break, 43.5%
Yeah, he can defend. I don't know what Kevin Love's doing there. He's just kind of existing and just making lots of money, I guess.
How else would you want to live?
Just enjoying Cleveland.
Right. and then Matthew Dellavedova is also there, and his concussion is apparently very bad.
Very bad.
Really?
To the point where he hasn't played in a long time.
I feel like he's the kind of guy that has had a lot of concussions through his life as well, like playing footy as a kid. And the
I reckon that's just the perception is that he's had lots of concussions.
I mean, when you dive at people's knees.
Yeah. If he's doing that in basketball, imagine what he would have been like playing footy. Like, he would have been wrecked.
He's 6'4". He would have been a big footy player, right?
Yeah.
Is that what
a
big footy player is?
None of us watch AFL.
Yeah,
nah.
I do.
Nah.
I suppose you're relatively tall. That makes sense.
Nah. Yeah.
That's how it works.
The AFL is.
So Cleveland.
Yes. Cleveland. What do you think?
I mean, they're screwed. Unless they rip a team off for Kevin Love, they're absolutely hamstrung. They're going to be paying $134 million in salaries next season.
Yeah,
is that a lot?
Their practical cap space.
Luxury cap is 123.
Yeah. Yeah, was it their practical cap space? Are you on Sporttrack?
No.
Oh, was it they've got -23 practical cap. -$27 million practical cap.
That'll come in handy, I think.
Yeah. But the only plus side that I found was that in 2020... they're unloading $101 million, almost $102 million of cap space. So they're finally getting out of the Tristan Thompson, the Dellavedova, the John Henson deal, J.R. Smith, Jordan Clarkson, Brandon Knight, who they're paying $15 million a year to play basketball.
The names you just read out made me like physically ill.
Yeah, and they're all earning over $10 million a year. Actually, most of them are earning over $13 million.
They're going to be paying Matthew Dellavedova like $12 million next year. Mm. To continue drinking some coffee.
Cash money.
Yeah, it's the only players that won't be on their roster next year, like just looking at the salaries, is Channing Frye, David Nwaba, and Nick Stauskas.
Nick Stauskas.
Cool. I don't think they're going anywhere fast.
No. Nah. Yeah. 2020 is their year.
Yeah.
2020 is their year. Yeah. You heard it here first, guys. 2020, Cleveland.
All right. So if we go down a little bit.
The agents.
I think we're going to hit Atlanta now very quickly.
Mm.
The Atlanta Hawks. As right now, I'm just hitting somewhat of the middle of the country, so we're going to hit Atlanta first. Trae Young has looked amazing in the second half of the season.
Do you want me to tell you how amazing he's looked?
Tell me.
Since All-Star break, averaging 25.8 and 9 assists. That's
strong.
That's strong, man.
That's very impressive.
I'll take that.
Still not Rookie of the Year.
He's not Rookie of the Year.
He's not, but he's another rookie that, again, was somewhat written off at the start of the year and has made us eat our words.
Almost similar to like Buddy Hield. Where people thought, oh, maybe he's not going to shoot it at such a high level at this level, and then he just has now.
Well, it was
looks very comfortable.
It was kind of different as well with Trae, because I mean Buddy Hield was like a catch and shoot dude,
sure.
Whereas Trae was like, oh, he's not getting the separation we thought he'd get. He's not making the shots on those step backs anymore. Like, what's the deal? But yeah,
and that was kind of scary.
Figured it out.
That was kind of scary because they thought that Trae Young was.
Sorry, I've got to run upstairs back to work.
Yeah, this is how we work.
I've been called in.
See you, buddy.
Yeah, see you guys.
Bye, Tommy.
Thanks, guys. See you, everyone out there.
All right, guys, get ready for a better podcast now. Woo!
Oh, that's so mean.
The microphone on now.
He's still here. I like John Collins as well.
Yeah, I love the identity that Atlanta are putting together. I think they've done the. They know what they're drafting. They know what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And I think if they do not get Zion, they're going to pick someone that fits their identity. They're not going to be a team which just goes, okay, let's just pick the best player and try and make it work. I think they really have a direction, and I like the direction that they have.
They're up to pick anyone in that draft other than Ja Morant, right? They're prepared to pick up anyone that's not a point guard, I think. And like, there's not going to be many like centers like John Collins in there anyway.
Yeah.
So you know whether it's you know could it be a Cam Reddish or that sort of player as well. Either of any of those sorts of players, whether it's Zion or Reddish or whatever, they can just fit in this Hawks system.
Yeah.
Because you just put them in there.
Either way, like out of the bad teams we're talking about, that like I feel pretty positive about the Hawks that they're on the right track.
Yeah, they're like the opposite of the Cavs. Now, if we go down a bit more, we're going to hit Memphis.
Mm.
The Grizzlies, they're another weird team where they got rid of...
Grizzlies are so weird.
They got rid of Marc Gasol. I like Jaren Jackson Jr. for a lot of this season. And Mike Conley, just again,
Mike Conley needs a lot of money. More love.
Yeah, and I think he will be on the move. I think they made it pretty clear that they were open to moving him. Yeah, and I think they're going to do something similar that they did to Marc Gasol, and they're going to send him to a good team for not much.
Yeah.
Because they could have got more for Marc Gasol than they did. Mm. I think they went, you know what, he's been great. Let's send him to a contender and get back what we can. I think they'll do the same thing with Mike Conley. But the thing which I really like about this Grizzlies team is they have the bones of a team that'll be really, really good. Their defensive rating was 6 in the NBA. They share the ball really, really well. Their assist percentage is 6 in the NBA. So they move that thing. And their steals and blocks are both in the top 10 in the NBA. Like, they have a lot of pieces which moving forward could make them quite successful. And that Bruno Caboclo.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Brazilian Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
He, in the last month, he's averaging 8.6 and 5. So maybe he's starting to come through as a player that could be a serviceable wing.
Like a legit NBA starter.
Yeah, and I'm still very, very high on Jaren Jackson.
Yeah, we were speaking earlier about the Suns and their culture issues. Memphis is that one place where you feel like no matter who's actually playing for them, they're always strong defensively. They always put in 100%. Like, they're not a team that's going to give you an easy night. They're an interesting team. I don't know if anyone's been paying attention to what Valanciunas has been doing since he arrived.
You told me this morning.
Yesterday, against the Suns, I know it's the Suns, he had 34, 20, and 5. And he's been averaging in Memphis 20.6 and 10.9 rebounds a game. Guys putting up like monster numbers in Memphis. No one's noticing because it's Memphis, obviously, and it's Valanciunas. So they're kind of empty numbers. But yeah, I think I agree with you in the sense that, look, they're in a rebuild right now, but what they can always provide to their fans, or at least it seems like they can always provide, is like a team that's going to go out there every night. Might not be the most talented roster, but they've got the culture. They've got like a culture that wants to win and wants to put in 100%.
Yeah, and next year isn't going to be any good for them. They don't have the wall. Chances are they won't get to keep their pick this year.
Yeah,
That's going to Boston in the Jeff Green deal, but. Once they start getting their draft picks back. Thank you. And Jaren Jackson seems a little bit more development. I think he'll have a great career.
Oh, he's so good.
Yeah.
Like they've nailed it.
Yeah. Before his injury, he was averaging 17 points, 5 rebounds, nearly a steal, nearly a block a game.
He's shooting the ball so much better.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like the most exciting thing is, like, yeah, you can put up numbers, but his actual game, his all-round game, just seems like legit. Like, there's no way you're like, wow, he's so limited in that.
Yeah,
like he seems like a really complete player that's going to be a star for years to come.
We saw him play against New York in the Garden, and the one thing that was really, really obvious was that he was kind of getting pushed out of his spots.
Mm.
So when he puts on a bit more weight and develops a little bit more of a post game, which he already has, like a really nice drop step, a really nice hook shot, and he still does have that 3-point shot, when he puts all of that together with a stronger body, because he's got the frame for it, he's got big shoulders,
yeah,
he's got a big butt, he's going to put on weight really, really easily. He's going to be a really, really talented player.
Yeah.
All right, we started in Southern California. We went all the way up to the Midwest. Now we're going to go back down to Texas, where the Mavericks, obviously not in the playoffs either. Is this seriously just Luka and pray for Kristaps?
Yeah, pray pretty that Kristaps much.
Is exonerated.
I do have a fun statistic for you.
Do it.
There's a Dallas Maverick player who is number one in the NBA in offensive rating and number two in true shooting percentage. Who do you think it is?
Is it like Dwight Powell?
It is Dwight Powell.
But I don't know why I kind of knew that.
It's like, I don't know. I'm always on Basketball Reference, and he's just always at the top. So yeah, he's
so weird.
He's just so effective.
And he plays like a decent minutes too.
Yeah, but off the bench. Yeah, I don't know. It's obviously just the role he plays in that offense. But yeah, just a fun little tidbit.
Yeah, but it's basically just lean on Luka, huh?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I think Luka. When Luka gets an NBA body rather than a European...
He's got that baby fat.
...body, yeah, and fitness-wise as well.
Sure.
When he puts all that together, he's going to be unreal.
Yeah, I mean, look what he's dominating the NBA now.
Yeah, and like...
He's 19.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he 20 yet?
I think he's a 20-year-old rookie, okay. Yeah.
I think whoever's jumped on the Trae Young for Rookie of the Year because Luka's not doing great now. I'd just wait till next year.
Also, Luka is doing great.
Luka's doing completely since the All-Star break. Trae Young's numbers have been very good. Luka's numbers have been just as good, if not better. But we just don't pay attention because Trae Young has put...
His shooting percentages are down.
Yeah.
And you look at him at the end of games and he's exhausted. Did you see that Denver game? I think, we were watching it together where Jokic hit the game winner. And he's red in the face, his shoulders are red, and he's crying almost on the on the sideline. I think he's passionate, he's competitive, and he's just exhausted.
Tom's back.
I'm back, baby. Obviously, it wasn't very important upstairs.
Jesus. Yeah. All right, so we just finished the Mavericks. We're going to go a bit to the east towards New Orleans.
Sweet.
We stopped talking about New Orleans as soon as the Anthony Davis stuff kind of dwindled a bit.
But that's the story, right? It's the fact that Anthony Davis is not going to be a New Orleans Pelican for very much long. Longer.
A rough day.
Yeah.
So the question is, what are they going to get for him?
It's not even that. It's like they're not going to get anything like that can really move the needle for them. Like they're an organization that's already kind of depressing, and that was with AD, and now they're not going to have AD, and it's like, what's the point?
Yeah. I think Julius Randle's very good, and Elfrid Payton kind of played a bit better after the All-Star break.
But
that's their nice things.
That's it, yeah.
Julius Randle and Elfrid Payton are not like things you want to like.
They're not game changers like the franchise on. Yeah. Right.
Well, I think Julius Randle can be.
He's averaged 21, 8.6, 3 assists on the season, which is great. Mm. But again, like this is, and I know there's other reasons for it, but this is another season with the Pelicans having Anthony Davis and not making the playoffs. Like how have they underperformed this badly with a player of that caliber?
Yeah, no wonder he's frustrated.
Do you think Drew Holiday deserves an all NBA third team nod?
All NBA?
Yeah.
No.
I don't think so either, because would you give that to Ben Simmons?
But like Drew Holiday is definitely going to be looked at for all defensive first team.
Yes.
And carries an immense load on offense.
Yeah. Mm.
Do they list him as a one or a two?
I don't think it matters.
Yeah.
Does he go guards?
He was a one in Philly, and then he's kind of been a two in New Orleans. Yeah.
They've also got Payton, who's ball handling a lot more.
Yeah, I was just wondering in the old NBA, like where they sit him in the voting.
It's just guards. Two backcourts.
It's just backcourts? Yeah, okay, cool.
I think Drew Holiday deserves like a hug and a whole lot of respect, but I don't think he's going to get
good
all
stuff,
NBA.
Drew. Good stuff.
Yeah, on his Wikipedia page, it'll just say all defensive first team, hug from Gaddy.
Yep.
Can we actually do that? We can change his Wikipedia page.
All right, let's go up. We got two teams left.
Ooh.
Right on the East Coast. So we're going to hit nation's capital first. Going to hit Washington.
That's not. Oh, it is DC. Sorry, my bad. I was like, there's a Washington over there, but I'm an idiot.
Yep. Yeah. Sure.
Washington, the Wizards. John Wall is out for presumably all of next season too. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so and his contract is disgusting.
Yeah.
Not sure what's going to happen.
It kicks in now that he's injured as well.
Yeah. Not sure what's going to happen with Bradley Beal, who's been playing really, really well, but it's almost for nothing.
Mm.
It practically is for nothing. Trevor Ariza didn't help.
I don't know what the plan is in Washington. Bradley Beal, I think, has established himself as a dude who could potentially be like a 1A, 1B superstar on a team, an actual winning team. He's averaged 26, 5, and 5. He's shown a lot of playmaking ability, which I don't think many people kind of realized that he had, obviously because he didn't really need to use it with John Wall. I think like Thomas Bryant's been a pretty bright spark for them in the absence of like Dwight Howard, who that season didn't really go to plan for him. But yeah, Thomas Bryant shown the ability to be like a pretty serviceable big man.
So when's the last time one of Dwight Howard's season went to plan for him?
That's a good point.
Has Dwight Howard's absence been all because of the butt injury?
I think so.
We forgot about that whole thing, you know, at the start of the year when that, butt injury came out.
Yeah, he's just been out.
Yeah.
I don't know why every time Dwight Howard goes to a team, it's always like, ooh, they have this inside presence now. Like, maybe. But just never.
Every time.
Never, ever.
Yeah. I think the Wizards are in a pretty, pretty tough spot now. You can't even start a rebuild, really, because the John Wall contract. Like, it's just like...
Similar to the Cavs.
Yeah.
Whereas just they just have so much like so many contracts on the books. They can't rebuild when they need to rebuild. Their young players aren't young players that they can really build around. So they kind of just have to wait it out.
Yeah.
Mm.
Something I'm worried about Washington doing is just being that team that takes on shitty contracts, pays a bunch of money to try and get picks back in 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that might actually be their only option because no one's going to want to trade for John Wall, surely.
No.
There's no reason to believe that he's worth the money that they've given him.
Yeah. What's Bradley Beal's contract looking like these days? Ooh. Is it somewhat favorable to trade
I'll
for?
I'll tell you now.
Yeah.
Now, he's
Stall.
He's the kind of guy that I think I want to see traded and want to see on a good team to see what he actually do.
Because he's got that the ability to be like a Klay Thompson. Sort
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
See, I don't know if I do want to see him on a good team.
So he's got.
Do you remember the when Wall and Beal just kept coming out saying we're the best backcourt in the NBA, and it was just constant barrage of Beal and Wall talking about how great they are. Yeah, together.
Beal's always seemed like the nice one though.
Yeah,
but can you imagine
I
if he's on a
well.
Like it's
good
always
team.
John Wall just being like we're the best backcourt, and Bradley's like yeah definitely John.
So Beal's making 25 this year, 27 next, 28 in 2021. He'll be an unrestricted free agent 2021 as a 28-year-old.
That's pretty hefty.
But it is, but I think he's totally worth the money.
And also, he's going to get a big contract. That's going to be his last contract.
100%.
Yeah.
He's worth that.
Yeah. So, Wizards.
Just going to say it from the I called this from the start.
Oh.
Was it podcast number one? I said the Wizards were frauds and Scott Brooks is a terrible coach.
Frauds.
Yeah. Oh, I do remember all the Scott Brooks stuff.
Yeah. Called it. Called it.
Last team, the New York Knicks.
How fitting.
They have somewhat avoided being engulfed in Kristaps drama because they traded him. And basically they've been really, really bad this season. And fingers crossed for Kyrie.
The worst team in the NBA.
The worst team.
14 wins.
Yeah. Ew. And yeah, it's just fingers crossed for Kyrie and or KD.
Yeah, their fates could all change in one phone call, though.
Mm, yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, like all they need is Kevin Durant.
Yeah, they made that trade, and basically we can't judge the trade until we figure out what those trades are.
And
do.
If nothing comes through, they could still walk away with Zion.
Mm.
True.
Which means you have Zion and you have Dennis Smith throwing down wild dunk contest worthy dunks in warm up, and that would be cool.
Yeah, just those two, just rocking it in warm up.
Yeah,
and for now, though,
and then just leave after warm ups.
Yeah,
the Knicks suck. They suck. They're terrible. Yeah. This is like the New York Knicks, and they just are so depressing.
Yeah, but people always say that this is the New York Knicks. They haven't been successful for
like that.
40 years.
It's because they're such a valuable franchise.
Yeah.
It's
like
the most famous arena in the world.
Yeah.
And it's New York. People might want to live there. Like there is talk. Are we writing off Kevin Knox, though?
No.
Like, are we done with him?
But I don't think he's any sort of game changer.
Not yet.
He's very talented. And I think more talented than what a lot of people thought he'd be.
Yeah.
Mm.
Especially in the summer league, he balled out and then he just carried that over, which is very cool.
He's a dude that if he skills up, levels up, he's got the body to be a star. He's got the ingredients. It's just what he does.
So, as much as they suck, I think Mitchell Robinson is going to be a shot-blocking machine. So he's averaging two blocks a game, doesn't play that many minutes. You know, his field goal percentage is nearly 70%. I don't know if he's going to be a starting center in the NBA or if he's going to be a really effective bench big who can impact a game really quickly. Dennis Smith is exciting. He's going to put bums in seats, and he does a job. It's not a great job, but he does a job.
Yeah.
Alonzo Trier could become a really good X factor off the bench. And Kevin Knox isn't bad. All they need is a couple of those big guys to come there and potentially that number one pick. And we could be sitting here being like, God damn.
Yeah, and like it's talked about, but Madison Square Garden, when there's like good things happening, really is like a different experience altogether. Like they can have the best home crowd in the league next year if they just have a couple free agents turn up. Also, they need to get rid of Emmanuel Mudiay because he makes me sad.
Oh.
Because it's just like, what are you?
He's fine.
He's what are you?
He's a fine NBA player.
Stop it.
Before the All-Star break, he was still averaging 15,
exactly.
3.
It's aggravating because it's like, what are you?
The whole
not good
figure
enough.
It out.
The whole Frank.
Oh, that's sad.
Oh, yeah, it's done weird. As well. Yeah,
like he's not going to be there.
I think I looked at his stats the other day, and he's a point. Oh, I think he's not listed as a point guard anymore. I think he's listed as a small forward.
He's
but
listed
playing
as a disappointment. I think
he's playing a point .40, averages like 2 assists a game and like 3 points.
You know when things really got bad for him when Emmanuel Mudiay arrived,
yeah.
And it was just like, oh, like he's been pretty effective. We should play him. It's the trick. He tricks you.
What's going on with his sleeve here?
I mean, let's not bring the podcast in on that.
That's the last team.
But I didn't realize that Kevin Durant had a player option for this year.
Yeah, but yeah. the assumption is that he'll decline it and negotiate a new contract either with the Warriors or with.
I thought he was a straight free agent for so long.
It's not the same with Kawhi, is it? Kawhi's a straight free agent. I think a lot of these people have player options, and the assumption is that they will decline the player option.
Normally the player option, because they can just make more money.
Yeah, Kawhi's got a player option.
Right, so the assumption is just he's going to decline the player option and then renegotiate a contract, whether it's with the same team or with a different team.
KD had a player option last year as well.
Yeah, he declined it.
Declined it and then signed,
with the player
option. Yeah.
It's just a financial thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's the kind of guy that will want to be the highest paid player in the NBA. It's like the kind of arrogant thing where he wants to have that label on it.
He's totally that dude, huh?
Yeah.
That's also something the player options also make me laugh when you look at the Miami Heat roster. And pretty much all their massive contracts have player options.
Damn.
Yeah, like...
Does that Tyler Johnson contract have a player option? The one that made him vomit when he got it because it freaked him out. That's a real story.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
By the way,
Kelly Olynyk, Josh Richardson, James Johnson, Goran Dragic all have player options.
Who gives Kelly Olynyk a player option?
Right?
Damn.
Right?
Who gives that to him? So, they're the teams that won't be in the playoffs. That's our thoughts on them.
There's a couple more, but we haven't.
There are more. We have to wait and see. That's quite cool.
Yeah.
That we're 2 weeks out from the playoffs, I guess, and we don't know who's in it officially. Mm. We don't know the order yet. The order in the West can change a whole lot. I do think we're going to see Warriors Thunder in the first round, though, which will be interesting because
that's the matchup. Mm.
Yeah.
Quick thoughts. Will Kemba Walker be in Charlotte next year?
I hope not.
Yeah, I really hope not as well. Yeah. Because that was one team I really wanted to talk about in this one, but they're obviously still in the picture.
Better start wearing my Kemba jersey while I still can.
That's true. That's going to be not correct.
Do you actually have one?
Yeah.
Why?
I've had it for a couple of years. I'm a big Kemba fan.
Gutty bought it on purpose. It's really funny.
Okay, so it wasn't a gift from an aunt,
someone
or
who
like
doesn't
that,
know,
who just like you like basketball.
Yeah,
this is the cheapest one I could find.
Yeah, Walker.
I don't know where this hate's coming from. Kemba's a great, exciting basketball player.
That's our podcast for this week.
Ah.
If you like what you heard, go to our social pages. We're at Fox Basketball. We're on Facebook at Fox Sports Basketball. Subscribe to us. Rate us, review us on your favorite podcast.
But actually review us.
We say this every week.
I know.
Just do it.
Actually do it.
Speaking of subscribe, please follow my new coffee outlet on Instagram. It's called Where You Been. And, it's going to be a big thing. I'm trying to get it off the ground, guys. I could really use your help. Don't laugh. It's not a joke.
That's not real, guys. Don't do it.
I laugh. Thanks so much for joining us. It's been real.
Thank you. Bye.